Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Hubble Happy Owl. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to Savannah, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you spending some time on a fine Wednesday with us. We have got a stacked show. I mean, we are wall to wall today. Not a free segment to be had. We are shoehorning in content. So today should be a good day, as Ice Cube once said. Coming up this morning on the show, we'll go inside the divorce of Brady Belichick and what's next for the Patriots. Ben Volen covers the NFL and the Patriots for the Boston Globe. Are the Patriots truly prepared to go into the season with Cody Kessler, Brian Hoyer, and Jared Stidham as their quarterback three-headed monster? Really? Is that what Bill Belichick believes he can turn into a winner? We'll talk to Ben about that coming up here in hour number three. Also, we've got this date in mothership history as well on a Wednesday as Champ and Chump. Also this morning, you might remember earlier in the week, we played Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks's wife, going a little stir crazy, rapping to Naughty by Nature's Hip Hop Hooray. Now, you might know this, maybe you don't, but Pete the Body Bilotti here on the DA show, the director of all things audio, fancies himself as a bit of a protector of the Tom Hanks flame. And so, we decided it's rap battle time. If Rita Wilson, Hanks's wife, who, yes, tested positive for coronavirus, is going to go into the Naughty by Nature archives, then our Pete the Body Bilotti is going to do the same thing. Coming up in 40 minutes, we've got Pete the Body's B-Rabbit 8-Mile answer to Rita. Instead of 8-Mile, we'll call it the Green 8-Mile. It's Hanks, his wife, versus Pete the Body Bilotti in a wrap-off coming up at 40 minutes past the hour. Also, I've got 6 degrees of Tom Brady. We've got Kevin Durant dodging a PR nightmare. We've got Matt Rhule potentially planning for PJ Walker, and this is going to be fun. There's no sports going on right now on the field, correct? Correct. But that doesn't mean the DA show can take a break from analyzing the games. That's not how we're wired. We're wired to analyze the X's and O's. We are wired every day to wake up and break down something game-related. So you know what we decided to do? We decided to break down sports movies. Not in a cinematic form. You don't want our Siskel and Ebert breakdown. No, no, no. We won't be doing some dorky rankings or brackets about the best sports movies of all time. No, 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 no. We here on the DA Show will be breaking down sports movies as if they were the games. And today, in the middle of college basketball season, what better movie to debut our new segment called Get Your Popcorn Ready than Blue Chips. 1994, Nick Nolte, Shaq, Al Bundy, Anthony Hardaway, and a cast of thousands. It is the ultimate college basketball dirty recruiting film, and we are going to break it down this morning. We'll break it down in two parts. In part two, I should say part one will come up in hour number two. Part two will come up in hour number four. Two times this morning, we're breaking it all down. Stick around. Blue Chips gets the DA Shows. Get your popcorn ready later on this morning. As always, our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. Hit us up on the toll-free lines. On Twitter, hit us up as well. Follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. So much goodness this morning. But we begin with Cam Newton, who is flat out released by the Carolina Panthers. Talk about an unceremonious exit from the team that drafted him first overall in 2011. Cam Newton took this team to three postseasons, won three division titles in the NFC South, was the NFL MVP in 2015, and helped lead, guide the Panthers all the way to the Super Bowl that year. Remember that Cam Newton's Panthers squad went 15-1 that season. They fell in Super Bowl 50 in Santa Clara to the Denver Broncos in Peyton Manning's final game. If Cam Newton would have completed that season with a Super Bowl championship, he would have authored one of the greatest seasons in NFL history. We don't have many 15-1s. We don't have many 15-1s that culminate in a Super Bowl championship. He was this close. And yet, when you lose the Super Bowl, and Cam did not play well in that Super Bowl, and Cam, his legacy from that Super Bowl was refusing to answer questions, sulking in his hoodie post-game, getting roundly criticized for being a petulant child after that loss. His legacy in that game is not, wow, can you believe the 2015 season and 15-1 in a championship? It is another yeah, but for Cam. Yeah, he was great, but when the rubber hit the road, he was childish. Or yeah, but he was great for so many games when the going was good, but when the going got tough, he shrunk. So there's always been a yeah, but with Cam Newton. Now that he's no longer a Panther, talk about unceremonious. The Panthers tried to trade him, apparently reached out to both the Bears and the Chargers about a trade that, according to Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, and neither team was taking the bait. Because when you've had a shoulder injury the last couple of years and then a Liz Frank injury in your foot, people want to be able to use their medical team to check you out, give you a physical. With the coronavirus scare, nobody's doing that. He can't travel to get multiple physicals. So team doctors can't check him out, can't kick the tires on him. So the Panthers tried to find a partner, couldn't, and flat out released him. For a guy that was a Heisman Trophy winner, a national champion, the number one pick in the draft, an NFL MVP, flat out released at 30 years old. He'll be 31 in May, but 30 years old, got released. And so now it's kind of a sticky question. What is or was the legacy of Cam Newton in Carolina? It is where we begin your cold open.
Had an unbelievable conversation with Marty Herney, GM, David Tepper, the owner, as well as, you know, Coach Rule, the new head coach. And, you know, I left that meeting inspired. And I told them, I said, I'm not, you won't find another person in that locker room with more to prove, not only to you, but I got to prove to myself.
I'm unbelievably excited to get a chance to work with Cam. He is a diligent guy. He's working so hard, both in Atlanta and in Carolina, to get himself healthy. I'll just say that I really want him on the team, and I really want him to be healthy. And I know when Cam's healthy, who he is and the type of player that he is.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, Park
Grundy. It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That, of course, Cam Newton and then Matt Rhule. It's not surprising that the Panthers are moving on. It's not surprising. Once they gave all that money to Teddy Bridgewater last week, there was no room for Cam Newton. And once the Panthers said, "We are allowing you to seek a trade," not surprising that they're moving on. Also, not surprising teams wouldn't trade for him because he's the ultimate risk. Why absorb his contract this upcoming season, the final year of his deal, if you don't have to? There's not enough takers right now to trade for him, so maybe you sign him on a team-friendly, one-year prove-it deal, but you don't need to inherit his existing contract. To me, I think Cam Newton's legacy is stronger and healthier in Charlotte, in the Carolinas, than it is outside of that. I don't think, I could be wrong, but it has never felt to me as though Panthers fans cared as much about Cam's maybe sometimes childish behavior, sometimes goofy costumes and outfits, sometimes problematic play when it mattered most. I think they cared more about the Superman, about the persona, about the highlights, and about Cam Newton essentially being the best quarterback in franchise history, perhaps the best player in franchise history. I think Panthers fans loved Cam more than he was loved nationally. Now, I'm not saying there weren't fans of Cam nationally. I do think that he struck a certain chord with young fans because he was dynamic. He had a great personality. He was obviously very handsome, GQ-esque, wore a lot of fun costumes and outfits, and handing the footballs over to fans of the stands after every touchdown, and just kind of being a front and center celebrity player. He is a celebrity player. I think that connected and resonated with a lot of younger fans and a lot of fans in Carolina. He brought pizzazz to the Panthers. I think nationally, there is always going to be a yeah, but a little bit of a roll your eyes at Cam Newton. Yeah, fine, he could fly over top of defenders, and yeah, he could do the Superman thing in the end zone, and yes, he handed footballs out and wore the Mr. Peanut costumes and wore a monocle to press conferences and all of that. But what did he win? And like I said before, he fell one game short of being NFL MVP, 15-1, and a Super Bowl champion, but because of the way he played in that game, harassed by one of the great defenses of the modern era, and the way he handled himself after the game, it was like everything got crystallized into that game. On the biggest stage, when it mattered most, and he had been just rolling the entire season, Cam shrunk. He didn't perform well. And then when he just had to sit up there and be diplomatic about the loss, he bit his tongue, he moped, and he acted like a 7-year-old kid that couldn't get his cookie. And so I think Cam has a very different legacy locally and nationally. I think locally, very, very loved, very much appreciated, very much people will applaud him and say, gosh, the Cam Newton years were great. I think nationally, there was a little bit more of a sense, a little bit more of a skepticism and cynicism. Highlight guy, good quote when he wanted to be a good quote, but ultimately not a, quote, winner. And nationally, that's usually what people kind of latch on to. And Cam has had some foot-in-mouth moments. I mean, when he basically berated a female reporter, snarkily saying, well, what do you know, basically, because you're a female reporter, what do you know about football? Cam had to kind of backtrack off that and apologize. He's had some embarrassing moments. Cam has been a really good quarterback. He has. He's been to the Pro Bowl multiple times, been an NFL MVP, won a national championship. So you can't say he's not a winner. But because he didn't win big playoff games often, and because the way we saw him in Super Bowl 50, He's going to be more of a guy, including myself, that remembers the highlights versus the winning and the leadership. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's bring Mraz in here, the thick tater, the prince of puffiness, the sultan of sodium. Mraz, what do you think? In your mind, how will you remember this chapter of Cam Newton's career? I'm sure he's going to play again, but let's just say the Panthers chapter of Cam Newton.
Crash and burn. I really think the post-game Super Bowl babiness, the immaturity of him, I think completely changed the trajectory and the way public perception is of Cam Newton, at least on a national level. He sat there, pouted, acted like a baby, didn't act the way a franchise quarterback should act in the wake of losing a Super Bowl. And from that moment on, suddenly the fashion shows went from, ha-ha, let's laugh at Cam, to he's a complete punchline, a complete joke. And I think that night, right after the Super Bowl, Cam Newton changed the way we think of him on a national level, and he's kind of become a joke since then.
Well, I mean, how much of that do you think is that the Panthers haven't been that good since then, and his costumes, his outfits have seemed to become more and more outlandish?
Well, that's true, and the fact that he was always hurt since then as well. When you're not on the field and you're not winning and you're showing up dressed like a moth that you have to mimic on Halloween, sure, that's going to change perception. I guess you're right. If they were still running, ripping off 15-1 seasons after that, that would have at least given him a chance to redeem himself. But at the biggest stage possible, the image we have is him getting harassed and acting like a baby postgame. And memories are made on what you do on the biggest stage. It's how we remember iconic quarterbacks. And on the biggest stage possible, what do we all remember about Cam Newton? The fact that he was getting sacked a million times and he couldn't stand there and answer questions like a true franchise quarterback. So while he should be beloved in Carolina, I think the idea of him handing those footballs to kids, I think, is so cool. And I think oftentimes overlooked at how awesome a moment that is with fans and fan relationships. Ultimately, on a national level, I don't know how you can look at Cam Newton as anything other than a guy who was had so many superstar potential, so much quality, but ultimately just crashed and burned.
That game allowed him a chance, had him a chance to change that narrative, play huge in a big spot against a great defense, lead his team to a championship, and then handle himself, win or lose, after the game in a really diplomatic, professional way. And he kind of failed in all of those things. And it was like all the bad things we ever said about Cam Newton came to roost in one fell swoop. And Cam could have really helped himself out after that game. He was harassed all day. Von Miller was the MVP. That Broncos defense was filthy that year. But he was not only harassed into a bad game, the fumble where he did not dive onto the ball late, which made him feel like a selfish guy. And then after the game, had he just been his normal, not to say gregarious, but they played great. I wish I played better. I want to get back here. My teammates are great. That's a great team there. And stood there and answered the questions, he would have won a lot of support. But he went the other way, and people, the small amount of defenders that Cam had after that said, well, would you be happy after a loss? But it's like, well, there were 49 other losing quarterbacks in NFL history in the Super Bowl before that, and none of them were as childish as Cam was that day, basically mumbling, I don't want to answer the question, one-word answers. He had that chance, win or lose, to change the narrative, and he failed both on the field and off the field. And I think you're right. That was kind of a turning point and maybe a cautionary tale for a lot of quarterbacks. You could be great, but in that moment, if you're that bad on both fronts, it's going to haunt you.
Absolutely correct. And I also think there's a part of this with, again, that run to the biggest stage. If you remember, the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton, for as lovable as Cam had been leading up to the Super Bowl, that team was actually very unlikable and very hateable. Josh Norman was rubbing people the wrong way. Remember, they had the old, they're bringing the baseball bat out before games, the keep pounding drum, which is a cool message. But ultimately, I think they kind of rubbed everybody the wrong way. They were a little too boisterous, and they were about to go up against Peyton Manning, who was everybody's, you know, love of quarterback. Everybody wanted to see him go out on top. So in a weird way, Cam Newton handled that poorly, but they went into the game sort of as a team America was rooting against, I believe, at the time. And when you act the way he acted, I think it was a total, you know, crock pot of a mess, you know, for lack of a better term, for Cam Newton, and it completely changed the way I think a lot of people look at him outside of Carolina.
Carolina Panthers have flat out released Cam Newton, so the next move is who will sign him, and will anybody sign him during a time where you can't actually do your own medicals on him? Probably not. So glad you're with us this morning here on the DA Show. You can weigh in via Twitter, DA on CBS, or on the phones, as I mentioned before. Remember, that was also the year the Panthers were taking team photos during games as they were on the sideline celebrating their 15-1 season. They were enjoying stomping on people. When we come back, your best audio of the day, and that includes the IOC president breaking down how or what it would take to reschedule the Olympics a year from now, and Marcus Mariota on his new home, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Probably a lot of people that could do what we do. You know that. We put the work in. We live it and we love it. That's why we do what we do, DA. Come on. You're the Aaron Rodgers of the radio profession.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Mine is the really depressing scruffy beard. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me at DA on CBS. Hashtag Ask the Pros. And be listening later on to the show. What'll answer that question? Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio every single morning. Wake up with us. Just tell your smart speaker, hey, would you mind playing CBS Sports Radio? That you can have it on around the house as we broadcast every single morning, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, Pete the Body has a rap answer to Rita Wilson. Earlier in the week, Rita, Tom Hanks' wife, clearly going a little stir-crazy in quarantine, rapped very well, I might add, for a middle-aged woman. Naughty by Nature, Hip Hop Hooray. Pete the Body Bellotti is the keeper of the Hanks flame. He loves Tom Hanks. Not like you love your favorite team, like you love your child. He is a protector of all things Hanks, and so he is now in a rap battle to defend the honor of the Hanks family against other criticisms of Rita Wilson's flow, although I think that she is a very, very, very flowtastic. That comes your way in a green 8 mile in approximately 15 minutes from now. But time for your best audio of the day. It is Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Tom Brady is a Buccaneer. He held a press conference via telephone, a teleconference, to discuss his new home. Here is why he chose the Buccaneers.
There are a lot of things that really were, intriguing to me about the organization and, you know, the players and the coaches and, you know, the willingness of everyone to try to, you know, accomplish what the goal of playing football is, which is to win. There's, you know, some really talented players here on this offense, you know, that have very unique skill sets. It's really my responsibility to, you know, I have one ball and I got to be able to deliver that ball to the guy who can do something with it.
Well, we talked about this last week when Brady said yes to the Buccaneers, yes to the pewter, and that is there are football reasons to have gone there. I mean, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are two of the best wide receivers in football, and even though the Buccaneers did not win 8 games last year, make the playoffs, have a winning season, the production was off the charts. And so Pro Football Focus did some rankings of their analytics. Their top 100 players, both Evans and Godwin, finished in the top 50. You might not have heard of Chris Godwin because he's played at a bad team, but Godwin was a top 20 player individually last year, according to Pro Football Focus. So there's receivers there, there's targets there. You also join Bruce Arians, who has a reputation of getting the most out of veteran QBs, or really any QB. I mean, he found 5,000 yards last year with Jameis Winston to lead all passers. That's Jameis Winston. Now, granted, he put up with 30 interceptions as well. But so there's some football reasons. I also think, though, that maybe something that Brady won't say out of diplomacy is fun. I mean, Bruce Arians is known as a laid-back, fun, chill, players-coach kind of guy. And that's not to say he won't get in your grill, but that Bruce Arians is the antithesis of the cold, calculated, impersonal, detached Bill Belichick. So you can't help but notice that Brady, after being pretty clearly stunted emotionally by Belichick the last couple of years, is now going to a place where he feels loved, appreciated, will have fun. You know, it all comes together. So there's some football there, obviously, but also some personal stuff that I think he chased going to Tampa Bay. The Olympics properly will be delayed. It will not be played this summer in Tokyo. Instead, the IOC is planning to reschedule for next summer. Here's President Thomas Bach of the International Olympic Committee on trying to reschedule the Olympics for next summer.
We want this Olympic flame to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And this is why we will work hard now to undertake this extremely challenging task, which never happened before. It will need the effort of everybody and the contribution of all to make this happening, because the Olympic Games are the most complex event on this planet.
And because it's so complex, you couldn't have it this year. It was the obvious right move. I mean, even though we as a nation might be out of the worst of these grips come July and August, the Olympics were scheduled for late July, early August in Tokyo. Even though we as a nation hopefully will be well out of this by then, internationally, where will we be as an earth? Where will we be internationally in terms of travel? Where will we be internationally in terms of health and crisis and rehabilitation and safety and travel? It just didn't make any sense to put the wheels in motion now. And if you or an American athlete, forget any other athlete, an athlete from Spain or France or Italy or China or some of the countries really devastated by this, would you feel comfortable today saying, yeah, and I'm going to travel coming up in a few months? I mean, that has nothing to do with actually training, that they're not going to be as prepared because we've all been in lockdown and everybody's lives have been turned upside down over the last couple of weeks/months. You just could not hold this. You could not hold this summer. Just no way. No matter how difficult it is to reschedule everything for next summer. And finally, here's Las Vegas Raiders backup quarterback, we assume right now, Marcus Mariota, overjoyed.
Words can't even express how excited, how happy we are as a family. These last 5 years have been a blessing, no doubt. I think Nashville has treated us very well, but this is a great opportunity for us. It's an opportunity to be closer to home and also to be a part of a great organization. This is Derek's team, and I understand that. I understand that going in, when it comes down to it, a strong, stable, supportive quarterback room makes that job a whole lot easier, and that's what we have to do. And I'm going to do my best to support Derek in every possible way that I can.
There has never been a bad word said about Marcus Mariota. Not off of the field. Not in terms of coachability, being a teammate, taking responsibility, doing everything he could to win. Mariota has always been the best guy, which is why I really liked him more than Jameis coming out of college. I felt as though, in terms of maturation, stability, responsibility, accountability, all those things that go into being a quarterback and a leader, you could trust with Mariota. The problem was the football never caught up with that. So, as a backup, you love him because he does all the right things, says all the right things. But I got to be honest, I don't think that Gruden's bringing him in just to be a backup. I think Gruden's bringing him in knowing that if Carr sinks, that he's got an option. And I think also he looks at Marcus Mariota perhaps as a reclamation project. And I think also he wants Mariota to at least push Carr so that Carr doesn't get too comfortable being the quote-unquote starter. I think there's a reason to bring in Marcus Mariota if you are John Gruden. And that is your sound check. Your phone number is 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Joined now by our friend Andrew Bogus, who's a kind sir, certainly on a Wednesday. He's in with headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning to you. We begin with a sobering video from Minnesota Timberwolves star Carl Anthony Towns last night. His mother in a major battle with what's believed to be coronavirus.
She's been in a medically induced coma. Since that day, I haven't talked to her, haven't been able to obviously communicate with her. I've just been getting updates on her condition.
The family still awaiting test results. Towns' dad also sick, but is at home in quarantine. Towns says he is sharing his story for those who still aren't taking all of this seriously. Sixers ownership, who also controls the Devils, has changed course and will not begin cutting office employee salaries next month. Monday's announcement drew immediate backlash, with principal owner Josh Harris said to have a net worth of over $3 billion. Even Joel Embiid spoke out against the move. Embiid is donating $500,000 to the relief effort.
I like this. This, that in the wake of these senators that have dumped their stocks and kept making their millions or billions, you also have other billionaires with their feet to the fire. And these guys that own these franchises, like we talked about Jeremy Jacobs and the ownership of the 76ers and Devils, etc., are worth billions. You can afford right now to take care of your employees that need it most. The shift workers, the hourly workers, those that need some help, arena workers. And instead of sitting on your hands and sitting on your pile of money and just waiting this out because you've got multiple island houses and yachts and a fleet of cars and you have servants and all of this, you should be putting your money where your mouth is. And it's kind of like the airline industry. Like, these are some of the wealthiest corporations / people / CEOs / owners we have in the country. They should be stepping up and taking care of the people that don't have as much. So I'm glad that people in sports are actually being forced to do this out of guilt, out of public shame, because they should have done it without that, but at least it's getting done now.
And I'll admit, economics is way above my head. It's the only class that I even came close to not passing in college, so nice. I don't understand any of this stuff. But, and that very novice, ignorant point of view, you know, there are rules in place for all of these teams and leagues in terms of, like, cash on hand and balance sheets and bank accounts and whatnot. So to me, when you're almost immediately at the very beginning days of all of this, already cutting salary of really like the smallest paid group of your organization, that to me then is about either you not running your business well enough in the first place, or your first thought again is, I still need to make X amount. So to get me to that amount, I've got to take from other
places.
That's
exactly it.
So let me start with my secretary and my assistant, who can give me back $15,000 at a pop.
Exactly, because the way that these billionaire owners often view their franchises are simply a business. And so here's your quarterly report, here's your annual incomes, here's what our lines look like. And because we don't have local attendance now, we don't have our TV contracts pumping in money advertising-wise on these games, we don't have the parking, etc., they're tightening their belts. And that's a lot of businesses across America right now doing that. There's a lot of layoff. There's a lot of people that are not working right now. These owners are looking at the same thing, the CEOs of these businesses saying, how do we chop some payroll off of here? And they're looking at it that way instead of, wait a second, I should be taking care of these people because I actually can do it. If you're a small business owner, you employ 3 or 4 people and you physically can't pay them, that's understandable. These owners absolutely can. They can take a loss if they want to. They still have plenty of money to live on it. We saw Mark Cuban do this. Okay, Mark Cuban's one of the wealthier owners, true. But the day the league shut down, it was, I'm taking care of my people. Other owners can, they just haven't, and now they're being shamed into doing it, thank goodness.
Yeah, and here's the NHL, by the way. On the flip side of things, they are cutting league employee paychecks by a quarter as of April 1st, and this is going to be the line that we hear across the board. They say they're doing this to avoid layoffs altogether during their paused season. MLB and its Players Association negotiating a plan for the near future. Teams are willing to advance $150 million in salary to players. It would be split amongst them based on their contractual status. But the biggest hurdle is service time, especially if there's no season at all. So as an example, we'll use Mookie Betts. He gets traded to the Dodgers. He is supposed to be a free agent next winter. If they don't play games this year or play a lot of games this year, is he a free agent next winter? And if he is a free agent next winter, when we didn't play any games, then what does that do to the Dodgers, who traded for him, gave up assets, not a lot, but gave up assets to get him, and then never actually got a game from Mookie Betts? So that's going to be a major issue for baseball.
Wow.
The deeper and deeper we go into having no games.
That's a really interesting point. Gosh, that is an inadvertent, unintentional consequence out of all of this. If you cancel the season, what happens to the year of service time? What happens to all the acquisitions, all the movements that happened before this? That's a really fascinating question. Boy, I mean, I guess it's not a year of service time that you've acquired because you have not played in a game yet, which might be why baseball is desperate to just get any season on the books to avoid all of that craziness.
But see, the problem is the way baseball is set up, it's literally based on how many days you spend on a major league roster. So even if they play like a month, those 30, 31 days wouldn't normally trigger a year of service. So the problem is, how do you completely rework the system to guys, DA on the 40-man roster who are going to go up and down, who may have gotten called up or didn't get called up, like that's going to affect pensions, and guys have salaries based on whether they're the majors or the minors. So there's a lot to figure out, at least from the baseball perspective. Again, the more and more games they miss, the more and more complicated this all gets. NFL GMs have recommended delaying the draft, but the league wants it as is in late April. Those GMs are worried about finishing their research of prospects since they can't do any medical checks or meet with players right now. We found this out just as yesterday's show was ending. You just touched on it in soundcheck. The Tokyo Summer Olympics delayed to 2021. First time ever the games have been postponed. Now some regular sports news, thanks as usual to the NFL. Cam Newton wakes up on the open market after his release in Carolina. The Panthers apparently pitched Cam to at least the Bears and Chargers, but found no interest. His foot and shoulder reportedly passed a physical Monday in Atlanta. Now those Panthers are signing former Jets receiver Robbie Anderson, 2 years and $20 million. Those Jets are adding former Bucks receiver Breshad Perriman, 1 year and $6 million guaranteed. And only the Mets could lose a major piece during this shutdown. Noah Syndergaard will have Tommy John surgery tomorrow in Manhattan. Now at least Syndergaard didn't get hurt doing something non-baseball while at home. Apparently the pain began while spring training was still happening. When it didn't go away, he went for tests and was diagnosed with a torn UCL. Although I'm excited for the reports where this actually happened on Yoenis Cespedes' ranch playing wiffle ball or something.
Right, yeah. Pure Mets.
All right, DA, I'm done.
Thank you, Andrew. Pure Mets. The league is shut down. There's no baseball being played. We haven't had baseball here in 2 weeks. And somehow out of the blue, one of their most important players needs Tommy John. Like, whoa, hey, wow, that's a bullet that just flew by. Remember, we were not talking about injuries. We weren't even talking about baseball right now. We were talking about a million other things. Then suddenly out of nowhere, dropped from the sky, one of the most important pieces of the Mets suddenly has season-ending surgery. How did this happen? How could it happen? When we come back here on the show, the keeper of the Hank's Flame, Pete the Body Bilotti, is responding to Rita Wilson's Naughty by Nature Hip Hop Hooray rap. Did Pete the Body defeat Rita in a green 8 mile? We shall listen to both coming up here next. Oh, this show. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I'm never going to come on the King DA show and correct him. So I was just going to handle that myself and kind of move on quickly because I respect you too much, man.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
King DA, I like that title. Our toll-free line today sponsored by Geico. 855-212-4227. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. The DA show emanating live every single morning. Hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border on the CBS Sports Radio Network. And also on SiriusXM, Channel 206. Or you can also watch us at watchda.com or listen to us on your phone using the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, Apple Music, or another streaming app or device. You know, earlier this week, Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks' wife, they've both been quarantined for the last couple of weeks because they tested positive for the coronavirus, did end up showing just how stir-crazy she's going by rapping to Naughty by Nature's 1993 hit Hip Hop Hooray. Let's listen to Rita Wilson spit some bars.
Hey, ho, you drew a picture of my morning, but you couldn't make my day. I'm rocking and you're yawning, but you never look my way. I'm looking down you, darling, in every single way. Your funny flow is foreign and your green comes on the way. This ain't got to do with shampoo, so watch your head and shoulder. Brother older, bold enough to fold you. Yo, I told you, a raid afraid of what I made and played it with some funky twists of savior flips and tricks. Put that music in your funky bag. Triggers from the grill town, ill town. Some ask how it feels now. The deals that were real, so we're still round. Don't lamp with a freestyle phantom. Ain't trying to be handsome. Shrinking what you're thinking, cause I'm vamping. I live and die for hip hop. This is hip hop for today. I give props to hip hop. So hip hop, hooray. Ho, hey, ho, hey.
So that's Rita Wilson, Tom Hanks' wife, really with some solid flow there. And by the way, Naughty by Nature, a wildly underrated hip-hop group from the 90s. A lot of big hits there, a lot of really good hits. But let's also now listen in on Pete the Body because he fancies himself as a keeper of the Hanks flame. He loves Tom Hanks, considers him almost a fatherly figure to him. The first movie he ever saw in the movie theaters, The Burbs, a wonderful Tom Hanks vehicle, I believe 88. So you have to give Bilotti his due here because he wants to defend the honor of the Hanks family. He thinks that he can probably outspit the rhymes of Rita Wilson. Let's hear Pete the Body's take on Hip Hop Hooray.
Hip Hop Hooray! Ho! Hey! Ho! Hey! Ho! Hey! Ho! You drew a picture of my morning, but you couldn't make my day. I'm rocking and you're yawning and you never look my way. I'm licking down your darling in every single way. Your funny flow is boring and the Greek car's on the way. This ain't got to do with shampoo, but watch your head and shoulder. Brother old enough to bold ya, so I told ya, yo, I fold ya. Arrayed, afraid of what I made, I played it, plus the funky flits, so save your flips and the tricks for that music and the monkey bit. Triggers from the grill town, ill town, so ask how it feels now. The deal is real and that we're still around. Don't light the lamp with the freestyle phantom, ain't trying to be handsome. Sugar what you're thinking, cause I'm vamping. I live to die for hip-hop, this is hip-hop today. I give props for hip-hop, so hip-hop, hooray! Ho! Hey! Ho, hey, ho, hey, ho. Thank you.
Let's bring in Mraz here for the official break.
Ho, hey, ho, hey, ho.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, it was so terrible, yet better than I expected at the same time.
You know, I agree with that. That actually was better than I expected out of Pete the Body Bilotti. There was at least moments, brief moments of flow there.
Yeah, I mean, he was able to rap a little bit, but at the same time, Pete, it's a rap. You're not just talking. I mean, my goodness.
Oh, it was excellent. I needed that laugh in the morning. Very good. The Green 8 Mile. The Hankses versus Pete the Body. When we come back, 6 degrees of Tom Brady, the after effects, the ripple effect of Brady in Tampa. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.